That's your interfaith work. Your interest in interfaith work in a community, wasn't that implanted in you before you even came to Tulsa, that that was one of those things you wanted to pursue?
Yeah, the Reform Congregation have been involved in interfaith relations throughout the 20th century. It's always was the Reform Temple that was representing the Jewish community. So in West Hartford, our emeritus was the Jewish figure in the community for a half century. My senior colleague carried on that tradition and expected his assistant and his associate also to be involved. So, yes, I came here with some of that background.
These are things that you didn't have to get involved with because it's an extra workload. The Oklahoma Center for Community and Justice, formerly the National Conference of Christians and Jews. There's downtown clergy monthly luncheons, monthly Jewish Christian dialogue sessions, board meetings, and all that. They're added on to your load. So it does make for a long day at times.
I knew that the long days were part of what I was choosing to devote my life to. I don't think that the ministry is a 40-hour week for any minister, priest, rabbi, imam. This is what one decides one wants to do with one's life. And that's where a supportive spouse, partner, who understands that, becomes all important. I have been so blessed with having that kind of a partner. This is not said to either complain or brag. Before I had open heart surgery, I was working 80 hours a week. After having quintuple bypass surgery, the cardiologist did manage to convince me that that might not be the way I wanted to continue doing things. So I did make some adjustments. Some adjustments means a 55 to 60 hour week, all right? But I love what I do, so that's not really a problem. Those associations that you just mentioned were also all very stimulating. I was with lay people and clergy who were some of the shakers and movers of Greater Tulsa. There's a certain stimulation of being part of those kinds of decision-making meetings and so forth. I didn't see it as a burden.
Well, interfaith work promotes respect between religions and so forth. Where do you see the interfaith continuing in the future?
As you know, I've spoken and written about my concerns of late. We are in danger in our country, I think, of everybody looking out for themselves. Meaning, for the past 15, 20 years, there's been a church growth movement. So each congregation, because we have an increasing number of independents who are not even part of a denomination or a movement, they are interested in growing their own facility, numbers, and so forth. And what's beyond the walls of our institution is of tertiary importance at best, okay? If it'll help us, if it will redound to our congregation's glory, reputation, we'll be involved. No sense that I can see of calling, of what used to be termed mission, a weakening of those elements. That's, for me, very sad. We have clergy, and I include rabbis in that, who, again, are not that interested in what their neighbors are doing. They're interested only in their own flock. There's articles written in terms of Judaism, in reach or outreach, with many making the case we have to be involved with our own because our people need all of our energies. Well, I think that's short-sighted. Unless we see ourselves as the old cliche of all in the same boat, we're going to drown.
Okay, so what if the interfaith effort goes away? What harm can come from that?
Oh, it will result in a weakening of the sense of community, which I believe would be very, very unfortunate. At a time when we are a more diverse society than ever before, if we don't teach and exemplify respect for the other, respect for the differences, then we are going to find ourselves very much out of step with the demographic facts of life.
The demographics have changed in our town since you first came. today we have the Islamic community, the Eastern religions, and faiths weren't even there. So it's probably even more important today than it ever was.
When I came, we talked with some Broken Arrow Jewish parents. When I went to talk along with the CRC, Community Relations Committee Director, with the folks in Broken Arrow, the assumption was in the early 80s that most every child in a Broken Arrow classroom was a white Christian. We can smile at that today because we know how it has changed, but that wasn't far from the truth. So, yes, we've changed. We did a session a number of years ago in Sand Springs. The really very sensitive superintendent of schools brought in a Muslim, a Christian, and this Jew to do a panel for his superintendent's staff, which included principals and vice principals. He knew the changes were coming, and he wanted to prepare his staff for those changes. I remember doing this in Jenks, and at that time, the Islamic community was very small and young in this work. I'm talking about the fact that, you know, if you only order pepperoni pizza for lunch on Friday in the high school cafeteria, there are a number of people who can't eat that pizza. Talking about things, high holy days, you could expect Jewish students are not going to be present. And we expect our holidays to be respected, all right? And the Muslim lady, I still remember, says, "You ain't seen nothing yet." When our boys reach middle school age, boys, not females, the uniform that you're expecting them to wear in gym is unacceptable to us religiously. And I saw the coaches kind of going. So we are a much more richly diverse community today. Thank God, for the most part, those in positions of leadership, academic leadership particularly, have been sensitive and willing. I'm also thankful that I had congregants who were willing to say, if we have to file suit for our children's rights, which we know we'll win, it'll create a lot of animosity in the process, but we'll do it. I sat in my office and said, "Rabbi, we three are willing to file the suits. So go and make your presentations knowing that we're going to be there." I'm very, very grateful to those families.